At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating US Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new podcast. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns for episode 41. As always, I'm joined by Mr. 183. How are you getting on, mate?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, lots to talk about this week, so it should be a good podcast.
Yes, yeah, obviously, if you missed out last week's podcast, definitely recommend going back and checking out. There was plenty to go through. This week, not as many pieces of news, but the ones we've got, yeah, obviously very, very important, obviously, as we get ready to start the new season. Obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, go check it out on Spotify. There'll be links down below, as always. As well, this week, you'll probably want to go on Spotify. I don't know about Jamie, but I've got a huge spot on my forehead that I'm sure now by pointing out people are going to notice. So you don't want to see that. You want to check this out on Spotify. And if ever there was a bad plug to get people to check
definitely
out Spotify.
Definitely face for radio this week.
Exactly, yeah. The face for radio and the voice for mind me. That's my catchphrase. But as always, though, of course, if you're after some F1 merch, you know, like some hats that I'm wearing right now, Jamie hasn't repped his merch this week. Obviously, there will be a link down below to the F1 store as well. They've still got a couple of sales going on at the moment. We're really getting close now to pre-season testing. So, yeah, you know, we've still got a sale going on. There's still quite a few lines that are available on discount as well, so yeah, go check that out. As well as, if you are a fan of the podcast but you can't sit down and listen to it for an hour and a half each week, we've now also launched the Clips channel as well, for an individual channel just linked obviously down below. There'll be, we got many links down below on YouTube this week, so yeah, if you want to go sort of check out little snippets from the podcast, go over there, check it out. We haven't sort of decided an upload schedule or anything like that. I'm just sort of just clipping bits and uploading it onto there, you know, for specific talking points throughout the podcast as well. But yeah, all those announcements out of the way then, Jamie. Let's get into our first piece of news. Hamilton has broke Twitter.
Yes, and he is back, which we've been calling for about 2 months now that he was never going to leave. But he's finally announced to the world that he is going to race this season, which is good news for the sport, definitely. And yeah, the likes and retweets went crazy on that tweet, to be fair to him. And yes, he probably is bigger than the sport in terms of his reach, but yes, I'm sure you're very happy about it. I mean, I'm happy about it as well. It would have been pretty awful for him to leave like that. But yeah, he's back, fully expected, but still a nice bit of news to kick us off.
Yes, yeah, I must admit, I'm currently got a gleaming grin on my face. Hamilton, he is just, when it comes to social media, Hamilton is leagues above anyone else. The fact he can just put out a tweet going, I've been gone a while, now I'm back, and it immediately gets more likes than Verstappen's championship winning tweet is kind of insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to throw shade towards Verstappen at all, but it is just mad, isn't it? The sort of global reach Hamilton has. And like you said,
completely,
he is bigger than Formula One. I don't think you can really argue with that anymore.
Not really, no. And like the range of audiences that he can reach compared to F1, just because he does so many different projects and so many different things, that really broadens the horizons of the sport. It's beneficial, definitely, but it is funny at the same time.
Yes, yeah, it's kind of mad, isn't it? But yeah, Hamilton's back, baby. Do we think title number 8 this year, Jamie? Is he just gonna decide he's coming back, he's slapping everyone, and then he's calling it a day? What do we think?
I mean, it fully depends on what they give him as a car. I think there's so many drivers who are ready for a championship this year, and it entirely depends on what the teams do. With a massive rule change, it could go any which way. So, you know, like Leclerc, Verstappen, even like Alonso, Hamilton, they're all ready for it.
Imagine if Alonso wins a world title.
I would love it. It'd be great. the plan, El Plan completed.
See,
title number three.
I think, Jamie, worryingly, I think I'm getting old. I'll be honest, because
you like Alonso.
I don't dislike. No, it's not that I like Alonso, but I think I saw a little montage on YouTube this week of some of Alonso's most iconic celebrations in Formula One. And for the first time in my life, I was sort of genuinely there going, I might actually like this guy. And I have no idea why.
He's just like, he's nice to have around, isn't he? He's like someone's friendly uncle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I wasn't quite where I was going to go with it, but yeah, I don't
know. I don't know. I would love to see him win a race again, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, again, with Alonso, he is one of those only drivers that if he did come back and win the world title this year, he would immediately throw himself into world's GOAT status, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, for a lot of people, he's already in that argument or discussion.
I would say
he's
top 10 discussion quite easily.
Probably he'd be, for me, yeah, definitely top 15 of all time. It's a very, very difficult to judge, isn't it?
If he was able to get title number three.
Oh, yeah. Immediately he gets catapulted crazy, up towards, the top. Obviously, depending on how that title 70, came around.
How long after? It'll be like 16 years after his previous
16
one.
16 years, yes.
Which
mad.
Is mental. Absolutely but mad. Less about Alpine.
Yeah, only we could
There's
turn,
another team.
Only we could turn a Hamilton discussion into Alonso out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Hamilton's back, baby. Fired up, ready to go. I mean, the fact he still hasn't talked about Abu Dhabi, I think, is incredible as well. I wonder how many tweet drafts he's got on his phone right now.
Michael Massey diss track.
Oh, ready mate, to drop. Ready to launch. That should have been his comeback.
That would have been so funny. But not going to happen ever.
No,
so.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway,
he might
from
have
one end
reach.
Of the grid, one end of the grid with Hamilton, to the other end of the grid, last season anyway. Haas revealed their car they didn't reveal their car, they revealed their livery. Put onto a generic 2022 car this week. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what you've been doing all week, but it looks, in my opinion, it's decent. I think it's a step up from last year, but not by a lot, and it's basically the same.
It was very, very odd, wasn't it? Like, Haas, for a team that needed to build up some hype around themselves going into this new year, I'm already very, very worried. You can always sort of sense to a certain degree, can't you, how well a team might do by how much they sort of hype up their pre-season testing. Of course, you can do a Ferrari and it comes back to blow up in your face. Yeah. But the fact Haas just kind of tweeted out last Thursday night going, yeah, the car's getting lobbed up on Twitter at 11 o'clock tomorrow. You're kind of there like, great.
Yeah. And I prefer this year's livery to last year's. It is subtly different, but not by enough to get excited about it.
No.
And I think in real life it will look better because it does look like a computer generation, which it absolutely is. So,
yeah
it's less obviously Russian, which is nice for any American fans of Haas.
It's still red, white, and blue.
There's still red, white, and blue in that order, or in the Russian flag order. So, yeah, it's interesting. I do hope they're not as woeful this year.
Yeah.
I think they could easily be like capable of being midfield if they get stuff right. Obviously, they've been focused on this car for so long that it's kind of all or nothing, as we said before. If they fail this regulation change, I don't see them being in the sport that much longer.
No,
But we'll have to wait and see.
And this is the whole thing, isn't it? Of course, everyone seemed to get really, really confused with this Haas announcement as well. Let's just get our facts right here. It's the 2022 livery on a render of the basic FIA F1 2022 car. The amount of people I've seen that are going, oh, I'm not a fan of the rear wing, or oh, they haven't done much with this or that. They're like, that's not what this was.
It's not their car. It's just like, it's the same livery that like
every team,
freelance designers uses.
Every team has done, like when all they did like the renders to try and build up a little bit of hype, wasn't it? Everything like that. Basically, what Haas have done is they put last year's livery on a car they're not going to use.
Yeah, basically.
Basically, all it is, unfortunately. But that does lead us on, though, Jamie, of course. We just quickly wanted to talk about this. You know, we've sort of mentioned it briefly. We've ummed and ahed about it over the last few weeks. We are planning on trying to do some car reveal mini videos as well. So what we're going to try and do, obviously, over the next couple of weeks, of course, we'll be back hopefully either Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to try and do a video sort of with the livery reveal, with the car reveal, and also sort of talk about the 2022 expectations for the team as well. So what we want to see from them, what we expect to see from them, everything like that. So, Jamie, Haas, in 2022 then, this year is make or break, really, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think, as we just said, like, if they completely flop, I don't see them sticking around much longer.
No.
I think at a bare minimum, they have to not be the worst. Or if they are the worst, be able to fight with the teams around them.
Yes, yeah. Or when you say not be the worst, we sort of mean, even if they were roughly on par with like Williams and Alfa Romeo or whoever might be at the back of the field, it can't just be an obvious this team is categorically the worst.
Yeah. Like they can't be the back marker team. They have to be in the conversation with the likes of Williams or AlphaTauri, whoever ends up at the bottom.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. But I think points should be realistically achievable at some races. I expect Schumacher to pocket Mazepin again, to be honest. I don't know about you, but yeah, Mick definitely had, to me at least, showed more potential last season. So we'll have to, I think they will probably come 9th or 10th, but if they're able to fight, like hold a candle to the other teams, then that is quite a good progression from last year.
Yes, yeah, and I think there's obviously a few other talking points there. Obviously you mentioned the driver lineup. Let's not forget the Mick Schumacher second season run that he's been on in recent years. And, of course, we actually got a little bit of evidence of that back at Austria last year. He was the most improved driver between the Styrian Grand Prix to the Austrian Grand Prix in qualifying.
Really?
He was.
That's actually really interesting.
Something ridiculous, like 6 tenths he found on that second weekend up against the first.
Yeah. We often see it with rookies where, especially, I know, like, recording Tsunoda this year, tracks he'd been to before, he was miles better, which like is quite obvious really, but
yes, yeah,
experience definitely helps rookies. So
yes,
like Schumacher especially for some reason is not that adaptable when it comes to brand new scenarios.
No.
We saw in F3 and in F2 that his second seasons were a massive step up from his first seasons.
Exactly.
So it could happen again.
And like you just mentioned with Yuki Tsunoda then, I still always find it mad that unless it's like a purpose-built new F1 venue, that any F1 driver could have not gone to a racetrack before. It's just insane, isn't it? You think someone's literally come to this world-famous... Like Imola, for example.
Yeah.
Tsunoda's gone to this world-famous venue and he's never once done a race at it. Of course, Tsunoda's a bit different, you know, coming from Japan and everything like that. Obviously,
and being so young as well.
Yes, yeah. Obviously, if Formula One became Formula Japan, then he would smash most people.
Yeah,
but
him and Gasly would be sorted.
Exactly. But yeah, it's always just really, really weird, isn't it, when we think about that? But yeah, I think like you said though, Haas this year, it's got to be points. Surely they've got to be aiming for that. I want to see the thing. Like we've sort of said before, we don't really want a backmarker teams anymore, do we? We want to see those bottom three there with AlphaTauri, with Aston Martin, with Alpine.
Yeah.
You want to see everyone being close enough to fight for points. It's not likely going to be possible most weekends of the year, but you sort of want, I mean, when we look back to what sort of 2010 to 2013, wasn't it? Really, obviously, you had those bottom three teams, but you still had 9 teams there that could be within a shot of points most weeks. Which was important.
And it was usually the Toro Rossos back then were like the 9th team, but even on a good weekend, they could quite easily get like...
Yeah, Toro Rosso and Williams,
eights,
wasn't
which
it?
Which quite good. Yeah.
Quite often. Especially during 2011, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, Haas though, make or break, I think 2022. They have though recently, Jim, I don't know if you've read this in the news, announced they've got a new building right next to Ferrari in Maranello. As part of their, I'm going to buy all your
parts. I've heard that one before.
Yes, we've all heard that one before, but apparently this time it's real.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to be beneficial. Another thing they also have is extra wind tunnel time compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
So,
do they have a wind tunnel? Is that helpful at all?
I think they use Ferraris, if I remember correctly.
Probably.
I don't think, they don't have their own. They definitely don't have their own simulator. I remember that, because Mazepin was like, I'm literally playing F1 2021.
Yeah.
Which is pretty shocking, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of Haas, still the picture that sums it up for me will always be last year at the Monaco Grand Prix. Everyone arriving with their huge trailers and things like that, and then Haas just bringing the chassis out of the back of a minivan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a shame.
They're still a very young team, to be fair.
Yes,
but...
I mean, when you look at it, Haas are now in Formula One for as long as Caterham were back in the sport.
Yeah.
And we've got a bit more hope still for Haas than we did for Caterham or Manor towards the... Obviously, especially HRT. That was a three-year disaster. That was... It's such a wild time. It was F1 2010 was like its throwback to the early 90s, wasn't it? It was insane.
Yeah. We're going to bring a budget cap in, get all these new teams, and then actually not bring a budget cap in, so they're all screwed.
And they all then get screwed by being powered by Cosworth.
Yeah.
Which, again, back in the 90s was about 15 years behind at that point as well with the DFE.
There was one driver able to get a pole position with the Cosworth engine in 2010.
Was one driver that was able to get a pole position in Cosworth engine in 2010. Remind me, how well did he do in that race?
Score points, beat his teammate. We can't ask for more in a midfield car.
His teammate being a pensioner?
No, he was only 40.
Only 40. I mean, we've spoken about Alonso maybe winning the world title, so
yeah, that kind of Barrichello was still a good driver. It was only a year since he almost won a title.
He didn't almost win. He never really had a look in it. 09.
No, but less about Rubens Barrichello and Nico Hülkenberg. They're both long gone. So, they're alive. Yeah, they're definitely still breathing. But moving on to another team, which I think since we last recorded, they've announced their release date, which is Red Bull. Reigning Drivers World Champions.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I very much do. So... Yeah, the RB9. Is it? No, you put RB9 down in the notes. It's definitely not.
It's not
the
RB9. It's because I've been doing an F1 most iconic car boat this week, and the RB9 made it really far.
Yeah, they're re-releasing the 2013.
It's the
RB18. Car, was that?
I know.
The RB18 is coming out on.
It's because it's Feb 9. Is the other excuse I'm going to go with.
Right. So less of Matt being incompetent, and yeah, the car is coming out on Wednesday this week, which is tomorrow if you're watching this as it comes out.
Yep.
We will hopefully have, as Matt said, the reaction to that livery and a little thoughts on how they're going to do. Obviously, world title number 2 is on its way for Max Verstappen, but we will have to wait and see. They haven't announced if it's going to be a testing livery. I sort of expect it to be, because they usually do.
Yeah, quite often. I'm not so sure, though, actually, this year.
Actually, haven't for the last few years, has it?
They haven't really needed to, though. There's been no sort of reshuffling the rules. We'll wait and see. That's part of the Red Bull hype, isn't it? We get a fantastic testing livery, and then it's just the same stuff every year as well, which is...
The same livery for 18 in a row or something?
18 years they've been in. 18th season in Formula One. That's insane, isn't it?
So the Red Bull can drink this year. That's mad.
Yeah, it can. It can have a proper adult drink rather than something teenagers buy.
Yes, so we'll get that up on whenever it comes out, probably Wednesday or Thursday for us.
So get yourself follow and or subscribe. Yeah, Jamie, come on, we gotta
I've not been to YouTube for a while.
YouTube game.
Yes, that's basically all we have to say. There's not much more to add than it's been announced that it's coming out on Wednesday, probably in the morning, remembering previous years when I was once late to college because I was watching the Red Bull get revealed. That's a true story.
Was the Red Bull the one I did a livery reaction as I was walking to college? I think it might have been.
I don't remember that. That was hilarious.
I can't remember if it ever actually made it to air. I'll have to have a look back through the archives at some point. But I vaguely remember, walking through a housing estate, talking about the Red Bull to me phone, thinking, what on earth am I doing?
Content.
Exactly. On the content hype train, boy. Speaking of things that have been sensible at the time...
I don't know where that was going.
Yeah, that was one of the worst cutaways I've done in recent weeks. Or segue, even. I've even got the name wrong. Oh, this is going catastrophically.
Disaster class.
Oh, right. We're going to scrap the podcast. We're going to start over again next year. Q2 Tyrrell, Jamie. It's gone. People are sad. We don't quite understand why, though, do we? Because this got confirmed years ago.
Crofty's been saying it every Q2 session all year, basically. Yeah. I mean... I think it's probably beneficial. I think the Q2 rule was sort of there to, like, mix up the strategies because if you qualify all on the same tire and you're all in the same order, it's unlikely that you're going to get much change unless race pace is wildly different. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. It won't make much difference. Like, two races in, we'll have forgotten about it. And also, it will... Like, the amount of times is my life as a Hülkenberg fan in the 2016 to 18 period, the amount of times you'd qualify somewhere 7th to 10th on softs and then get screwed by everyone on the harder tyre outside the top 10. You basically got done in for qualifying in Q3 as a midfield team. So I'm glad for that reason it's gone, because it will benefit. It will make it more fair, basically. It will be less artificial.
I really don't know.
Hopefully... it won't just lead to one stops every week, although I kind of think it will.
This is sort of what I think. This Q2 tyre rule gone would make more sense if we knew... say, for example, next year's tyres were going to have a huge drop-off.
Yeah.
That would make it interesting. Or say you had to use all three sets of tyres during the race. That would make interesting.
I think my favourite thought process solution would be just to get rid of the three tyre rule as well. Because... that really benefited when you could qualify on a certain tyre to start the race. But if you brought back just the option of the prime, say, and Pirelli still choose between their whole range, but get rid of like the hardest tyre for each race weekend. So you're bringing back the twos and three stops from the early 2010s.
Yeah, because let's be fair, generally, two or three stops provide better races.
Yeah,
because
the problem with one stops, like one team, whichever team is behind usually, has an opportunity to undercut, and the like, if it's a successful undercut, great, you then have the faster car having to come back at it. If it's unsuccessful, you've got a boring race.
Yeah.
Basically. So yeah, I'm not sad that it's gone, but I hope that the tires that Pirelli bring don't just lead to one stops every week.
Yes. Yeah, and this is because sort of, I'm sort of looking back at last year, we sort of think about good races between Red Bull and Mercedes were Spain, for example. That was a two-stop versus a one-stop, wasn't it?
France
was the second one I was going to mention. That was a two-stop versus a two-stop.
No, it was...
it was two versus one, wasn't it? Yeah, it was the other way around. Yeah, because obviously Red Bull one-stopped at Spain, two-stopped in France, and obviously Mercedes did vice versa. Yeah, some of the better sort of on-track strategic races are completely dictated by having that extra stop.
And Bahrain, of course, as well, the very first one.
That was two stops of the pair of them, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was different.
Yeah, very like, different order. Two stop strategies, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I think what we really needed, yeah, like we both sort of said, is this rule to be changed, but another rule possibly to be thrown in. But then again, we're trying to make sense of Pirelli, and that never works. For all we know, they're going to announce Bridgestone are coming back, and then we're going to have a tyre wall, which kills series.
That'd be awful.
Tyre walls don't work in motorsport. How are still different series around the world not learning this?
Yeah. Did you not see US 2005? That was a quality race.
Oh, the best race of Schumacher's year. And, well, the best race of Thiago Monteiro's career.
Yeah.
The only
Portuguese. It was the origin of that podium meme where he's just the guy in third celebrating massively.
It basically was, bless him. It was absolutely insane. We briefly mentioned this last week, Jamie, and then not long after we mentioned it, there was sort of more talks. Sprint racing might not be gone for 2022, but we don't know how many sprint races we could get now over the course of the year. It's all up in the air, isn't it? Which is kind of bad when we should probably know this before the season starts, I think.
It's never a great sign, is it? I think, do you remember back when they announced the... knockout quality in 2016.
I was thinking about this morning.
It was announced about 2 weeks before the season.
Yeah.
And it absolutely flopped. It was terrible. So hopefully the sprint races won't follow that degree of chaos, but it's entirely possible. And I think basically, obviously the venues themselves all want sprint races because it's massively good for money. The teams don't really want sprint races at all, or at most the same as last year at three. And F1 kind of have to compromise between the two. Like, as far as we can see from the articles that have been published, F1 want six.
We're trying to get six, yeah.
And the teams aren't really budging from three.
Yeah, they want three maximum.
We never really see happy resolutions from these sorts of standoffs. So we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Here's my idea, Jamie. You're gonna absolutely love this. Yeah. You're gonna love this.
That's always
this.
A good start to a sentence.
Right. You do free practice on your Friday night, there's a draw that decides whether whether Saturday is going to be sprint qualifying or normal format. If it's sprint qualifying, your grid is decided by your free practice times.
That would be, that's terrible. That's an awful
idea. Is horrendous, isn't it? But can you imagine that?
I don't mind the idea of having like a draw, because that would really put the teams on edge. But like, design the grid by free practice is ridiculous.
It's been
just
done
do the
before.
Draw earlier, do the draw earlier in the day, and then have a normal qualifying session if you get sprint.
Fine, fine. We'll settle with that. I just think that'd be hilarious. Friday night, just then it's Antonio Luizzi on pole.
Yeah. And imagine, like, if you only have one free practice session, if like Piastri's doing a practice session, does he have then he then has to do the whole?
Oh
race?
Yeah. This is even better.
And Ocon's just out of a seat for the weekend.
Yeah. No young driver ever gets a chance to drive a Formula One car again because everyone's just worried.
Yeah.
Oh, this gets even better, Jamie.
That's a woeful idea.
Yeah.
That's up there with your worst.
That is definitely right up there with one of my worst. But yeah, obviously, if you want all our opinions on sprint qualifying, make sure you go check out the clip that hopefully by now has been posted up on the Clips channel. Or, of course, check out last week's podcast as well. You know, we've got to throw those cheeky plugs in once again. But I think we'll end up seeing three sprints again this year, to be honest.
I think so as well.
F1 are really, really pushing for it, aren't they? Whether it'll work or not is a different question. I think, like we said, they need all three to be like Brazil last year, don't they? Or what you want is a wet-to-dry or dry-to-wet race for a sprint.
Yeah, that would be great, just to mix it up completely. I think they'll definitely be strategic with what tracks they pick, obviously. They want them to be good.
Yeah.
So they're not going to put them at Monaco or at Hungary or something. So, yeah. Watch that age really poorly when Monaco and Hungarian sprints are announced.
Oh, don't. Imagine that. It would not be fun, not at all.
No.
Oh, excuse me. Speaking, though, of wild and wacky Formula One, DTS Season 4, Drive to Survive, has been confirmed for March the 9th. Or, well, the tweet we've seen is between March the 9th and March the 11th, which to me says March the 10th, Jamie. Which actually...
Let me just check. What days are those?
I'm pretty certain Formula Racers...
The 10th is a Thursday.
We got this tweet from Formula Racers. I'm pretty certain they made a tweet like that before, and I responded going, well, between these two dates is only that day, and that's why they unfollowed me, I think. I genuinely believe that's the reason, because I did actually used to speak to the guy that runs the account, and yeah, he unfollowed me months ago, and I got
and
no idea why.
Off, so
I think genuinely that was it. He just unfollowed me. I was like, mate, okay, that's kind of sad.
It would make more sense for it to come out on the Friday, which is the 11th, but
not normally though. Normally, a lot of it's Thursday midnight, isn't it?
I guess for then Friday daytime. I mean, yeah, I don't know, but anyway, Drive to Survive is back. Season 4. It will hopefully be really good. I mean, they've got so much content from last year.
Can you imagine if this one's a flop? Like, they've been given
this one
literally
should be their best one.
The pure Drive to... Literally, they've given us a Drive to Survive season, and then they just, like, mess it up.
Yeah. I mean, they made decent series out of 2018, 2019, which weren't particularly good seasons.
And 2020.
Yeah.
2018
which weren't
was a
that
good
exciting.
Season.
2018 was decent. 2019 had good races, but the whole... Like Hamilton just dominated the whole thing.
Exactly.
So
same way
it should be really good. Although I'm slightly worried that Verstappen still won't be in it because he's been vilified in 2018. So they're just gonna have to like pixelate out any time Verstappen's car is on
just
show.
Just a pixelated car hitting Hamilton.
Yeah.
This unnamed driver.
I'm sure it'll be more like they'll go the Pez way of like Michael Verstappen or something.
Imagine that blue horse crashes into Hamilton.
Blue horse racing, wow. Yeah. I mean, it'll just be Christian Horner commentating over Verstappen instead of himself.
Yeah.
But
it was well out of line.
It should be very good.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited for it.
We'll wait and see, won't we? Again, you're big into drivers. Well, not big into Drive to Survive.
I watch it basically as soon as it comes out.
Oh yeah.
So
if that
can be described as big, then yeah, sure.
But we were sort of discussing this pre-show, weren't we? I will watch it once, and I've never sort of had much desire to go back and watch it again. you will go back and watch bits, won't you? A lot more.
Certain really good ones about drivers I like, yeah.
Yeah. But
I think it's definitely designed for the casual fan and the newbies completely.
Yeah.
And it's great at that.
It's so fantastic at that.
Yeah, it is brilliant at that. So the people like us who watch, like the Adoraks who watch every race, basically it's not for us.
No,
but we still
can
get enjoyment from it. But like, the problem is you can see when they're making stuff up, and the stuff that is dramatic enough in itself we've already seen happen in front of our eyes.
Yes.
So
yeah,
it's enjoyable, but it's not like my favorite thing in the world. I've got some friends who absolutely love it because they're quite casual fans. So
exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I think this is the important thing that we've got to appreciate as well, because not only, well, me more than you as well, isn't it, Jamie? But not only are we definitely Anoraks when it comes to Formula One, we have a podcast called Knowing Wheel. For me as well, the growth and accessibility that even creators like myself have been able to gain because of Drive to Survive, I would genuinely be interested to see where I would be had it not been for DTS and Liberty Media.
There'd be about 700 subs still.
There'd be a fair chance, to be honest, there'd be a fair chance I probably wouldn't be uploading content anymore. Unless something drastically different, but still to either the same sort of degree or a lot better, had happened.
And like, it's completely noticeable just in day-to-day conversations as well. Because
oh,
like, when I came to uni, like 2018, I used to just chat about it. Yeah, I've been
Don't
in
you do a
while,
three-year course?
No, I did a foundation year, mate. Come on, keep up. But yeah, I first came to uni, you chat about F1 and everyone's like moving away.
Yes, takes 5 steps back, yeah.
But now, like, people generally come up, like, when, especially after Abu Dhabi last year, I wore my Red Bull shirt.
You
and
monster.
People will just come up to you and be like, oh, do you see the race? And be really excited about it. Like, that growth, yes, it was sort of down to a really good season last year, which we have to be very thankful for. But also, DTS and social media generally has been really good for F1 for the last 4 or 5 years, from Liberty Media's takeover, really.
Yes, Liberty have. There's still a few things I'd like to see changed. Please give people more freedom to use footage on YouTube. It's not 1996 anymore. We need proper access to footage. Again, I always use the example of NASCAR. They have a brilliant system for it. If the race is older than about 3 years, as a general rule of thumb, you haven't just ripped the whole race and put it on YouTube, they will let it slide. And I just think of the amount of different videos I'd love to be able to make talking about Formula One, but you just can't, because it's still a minefield. Unless you do
like
pictures.
Like history lessons, basically. That'd
yeah, I'd love to do more. I've got a few scripts in the work for videos I want to do talking about like the past of F1, but it's still just a minefield when it comes to footage. And that's why it's frustrating, because you just think, is it worth putting in all the effort, having to upload clips, working out whether they're copyright claimed, having to edit bits out and put stuff in and all this, that and the other. And it's just difficult when it doesn't need to be anymore. Surely it doesn't need to be like this.
They're kind of in a hard place because all the contracts that Bernie Ecclestone signed are still going on.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, I think their first opportunity will be one day run out, which is probably... They were probably 10-year contracts when he signed them.
He just signed up everyone forever, didn't he, Bernie?
Yeah, they must be coming up like within the next 5 years, you'd imagine.
Oh,
so hopefully.
Am I going to be making videos discussing Grand Prix in 2009 when I'm nearly 30, Jamie?
Oh dear, that doesn't sound good.
Oh, dearie me. Dearie me. But yeah, obviously talking about the Drive to Survive, I read an interesting article this week, Jamie. Rather believable, let's be fair. It's not... certainly unpredictable. The biggest market gain, thanks to Drive to Survive, by far and away has been the US. And that has been shown, we discussed this last week, we could potentially be on for 3 Grand Prix in the US very soon.
Yeah, it's a market they know they want to break into.
And they've tried so many times.
Yeah, you can tell they're strategic, very much so, with America and particularly with East Asia and China as well. Like, I think having... The big one will be having a driver. I think one of our viewers commented that recently.
Yes,
I think last week. Like, I think China will be a great growth this year just because they've actually got a Chinese driver in Guanyu Zhou.
Yeah, it's mad when you look.
The
biggest and best example of that will always be Yao Ming in the NBA. The fact that the NBA went from literally just American sport to China watching more of the NBA than the US did. There were more Chinese viewers than from the USA. Yeah.
Well, the most viewed free practice of last year was the one Guan Yuzhou did in Austria.
Yep.
And the fun fact, the most viewed video, or one of the top five anyway, on F1's YouTube channel is Harry Anto's F1 debut, because similar things happened with Indonesia. So... He was Indonesian, yes?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I need to fact check that one. But yeah, it just sounds really simple, but those countries' populations are ridiculously big compared to most of Europe.
They are untapped markets.
If you can break into those markets, you're going to see huge growth. So America, DTS has obviously helped that massively. Having an American team has probably contributed to that. And also, they want potentially three races next year.
Yes.
So it's going up in the world, hopefully. It's just need a good American driver to come through. I think they'll really push Williams into signing Logan Sargeant for 2023.
You could see a Logan Sargeant down at Williams. You could see McLaren pick up either Pato O'Ward or Colton Herter, someone like that. Pato O'Ward, isn't.
He's Mexican.
He's Mexican.
He?
But obviously he races in IndyCar as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, I think, a couple of Americans that could be F1 caliber. But again, obviously, that really depends. You know, if we see Guan Yuzhou completely sink, like some of us are predicting, you know, that market could very easily come in and then come straight back out. You just don't know at the end of the day. I mean, even the example of, you look at Austin last year, the fact that, I think, was it a capacity of 400,000, that was basically sold out this year, where normally they wouldn't even be. I think the record before then was something mad, like 165k.
Yeah.
They just never even got close to filling it before.
And they gave it a year out with 2020, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
And then the growth in that time, basically 2 years, was almost doubling, over doubling the capacity,
it's
which is ridiculous.
Madness. But yeah, if they can tap into the US market effectively, I mean, YouTube has generally had quite a good... You know, I'm basing this obviously on my own channel. I'm just going to quickly have a look out of interest what percentage of my viewership is American altogether.
If you are, then comment below.
Comment below
American.
If you're American. Yeah, that's going to be the key. Let's go like that. What am I looking at? Oh, I don't know.
Matt tries to figure out some statistics.
Jamie, you talk about this for a minute. I'm going to try and dig deep.
I think it is a good time, definitely, to be an F1 fan, generally. It's a very good time to own shares in F1, Matt.
Yes, it is, hopefully. We'll wait and see. Stock market's probably on the way out, but still, now you've said that.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, it's definitely growing. And hopefully it's not at the expense of, like, classic European tracks.
Yes.
But we've kind of seen that happen with Hockenheim is a Nürburgring. There's no race in Germany. There was talk for a very short amount of time of no race in Britain, although that seems to have...
That happens every couple of years, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've got my analytics, Jamie. I found what I'm looking for.
Nice.
So, 21% of my audience is British. Obviously, I'm an English speaker as well, as hopefully you guys would have worked out.
Well,
yeah, I was going to say, the accent doesn't help, but still. my second biggest audience, though, is America. 11%.
Yeah.
And then we've got Netherlands, Germany, Italy, which, of course, are three... Well, now the Netherlands as well, but Germany and Italy have always been huge F1 markets as well. So, yeah, I think there is certainly the potential for interest in the US, isn't there? And that's really, really important.
And more races will only help that as well. So
yes, yeah.
You'd hope so anyway.
Yeah, you really, really would, wouldn't you? I'll tell you what. But whether that'll... this is obviously what Liberty are... We are very much now in the case of... Are we going to see this finally work? Are we finally going to see Liberty take into the US market? Or is it just going to be another couple of years, then we'll get some controversy and they'll all go back to IndyCar and NASCAR? I think a lot of that really depends on the success of IndyCar and NASCAR. You won't know this, Jamie, but the first race of the NASCAR season was last night. The LA Clash. It was carnage.
Did you watch it?
I watched the heats and then I went to sleep. And then I watched the finals this morning, or when I got home from work.
Nice.
They've obviously got the new car this year. The LA Clash was always designed to be a bit carnage, but in a weird way to sort of describe it, Jamie, there's no points available for it in the championship. It was just a sprint race designed to be a bit chaotic.
Right.
Could we see...
That's so American.
Exactly.
That's so American.
But you just think it was really, really cool. Something a bit different. Could
the
we
teams
see
would never do that.
Formula One trying to do that down the line? Probably not.
No way.
But it would be interesting.
It's such an expensive sport, F1, that it's basically just throwing money down the drain. So.
But you give the drivers like an F3 car or something like that.
Oh yeah, that could be a shout. I don't think the teams would ever agree to it in real cars. But yeah, if you've got like maybe the end of a season where you're about to create new F2 cars or F3 cars, put all the drivers in there and have a crash fest, basically. That's basically what it sounds like.
Well,
driving,
we would
so.
Get to see Max Verstappen's F2 debut.
Yeah, he skipped it in real life. Yeah. In history, sorry. It was all real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a great idea, but I don't think it will happen. But it's a nice thought experiment, isn't it?
No, it'd be certainly interesting if Formula One did something. Because I saw a couple of tweets recently from people going, should Formula One race on an oval? And they're like, no, definitely shouldn't. That would be insanity. But you put around like some shorter circuits or something like that could be. I mean, look at Bahrain 2020.
Yeah.
That was something a bit different, and that worked really well. I don't think they'd ever go to the extremes that NASCAR does, putting them on a quarter of a mile stadium and things like that, or a dirt track like they did last year at Bristol. But it would be interesting to see Formula One try out a few different things, but it just won't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, the teams are so stubborn about any change that radical change definitely won't happen.
No,
so.
No, exactly. But we saw it with F1 Esports.
Yeah, when the teams have no power.
Ferrari weren't involved early on and then came on board.
Yeah. Well, I don't see it personally, but...
No, nor do I, we'll to wait be honest. See. But you never know. Anything else, though, to discuss today, Jamie? We've kind of rattled through pretty much everything we really wanted to, didn't we? I think.
Yeah.
Anything else from you, news-wise?
I don't think so.
No, don't think...
There's very, very strong rumours of McLaren having a golf livery.
No, there's not anymore. That was what I was going to mention. So we spoke about that last week. Now, there's been a leak from Lego, of all places, of apparently a papaya orange McLaren again.
Oh. They released like a video generating hype, and there was a lot of golf blue in there.
There was, yeah.
So
we really don't know what McLaren are doing anymore. No. But of course, we're going to be back to react to that when it does happen.
Get yourself subscribed and followed.
Yeah, get
as a plug.
Oh, thank you very much, Jamie. Doing the work for me now.
Yeah,
we'll wait and see about that.
The guy who designs the Alpine livery has basically claimed that he's done a great job. On Twitter today, I saw
he did a great job last year. I'm not gonna argue against the guy.
He's claimed that his car is the best on the grid.
Fair
play.
So
look forward to the Alpine.
L plan is complete. They've now got another slick paint job, and that's going to be it for the new year. Ferrari, I suppose we probably should just mention that quickly. Have named their new car the F175 because clearly Ferrari have never learned how to run the numbers, and this just further proves that.
Celebrating the 75th different naming convention that Ferrari have used recently.
Why? Why, Ferrari, are you like this?
Yeah. It's an absolute nightmare. Just bring us the F22, F23, please. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but then Ferrari. You get stuck at 2030 when you bring back the F30, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Because they've already used half the numbers.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous. Just give us the F2022. That was like the iconic naming convention.
Yeah.
We don't need anything else. Please, just give us what we want. Ferrari, and of course Science World Champion 2022.
No, but big Charles.
I think we both know Charles probably still a better driver, but still we're all aboard this. Well, we're all aboard the Hauger hype train, but we're all aboard the science sailor. No, that don't work.
I don't even know where you're going. Science segue. There is a segue
to I think our outro. Yeah, before this absolutely crashes and burns. But thank you all so much for watching once again, though. If you have enjoyed, do make sure you leave a like. Get yourself followed, get yourself subscribed, everything like that. Like we said, links to everything down below. F1 merch, Spotify, YouTube clips channel as well. You know, we're firing. 2022 is the year of the Knowing Wheel podcast, and we hope you guys are all along ready for the ride. Just 5 weeks to go, Jamie. 6 weeks. Five and a half. Near enough 6 weeks still to go.
Yeah, call it five and a half.
Five and a half weeks until Bahrain. We are getting more and more hyped, of course. Like we said, You're going to be seeing a lot of us together over the next couple of weeks. Valentine's Day, of course. Jamie and I have got our plans. But yeah, obviously we're going to be back trying to do more of the reveals as well. But thank you all so much. And yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll be back before next week, reacting to the Red Bull livery. And then, yeah, we'll be back very, very soon with more Knowing Wheel.